I'm Karen Given, and it's time for Three Stories You Should Know. On March 24th, the Calgary Inferno of the Canadian Women's Hockey League won the Clarkson Cup for the second time. A week later, the CWHL announced that it's folding, and that's where we'll start this week. I'm joined by Toronto-based sports writer Shireen Ahmed via Skype and by Professor Kenneth Shropshire, CEO of Arizona State University's Global Sport Institute. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Karen. Hi, Ken.
Shireen, start us off.
The Calgary Inferno are a powerhouse team in the CWHL. They beat Les Canadiens 5-2 in a thrilling match of the Clarkson Cup that was watched by over 170,000 people over three networks.
Wow.
So this came as a shock, not only to the legions of fans who support women's hockey in Canada, the team players of the six teams were finding out via social media if they hadn't found out 20 minutes before. No sooner did this happen, because the drama never ends, the NWHL's commissioner, Danny Ryland, announced that, partnered along with the NHL, they would be expanding their teams to Toronto and Montreal. So, my friends, that's where we are, still trying to navigate through all the feelings.
Shireen, I can't help but think back to the excitement when the CWHL first passed out paychecks in December of 2017. Do you remember all those tweets and just the beaming faces? And, you know, you mentioned that the NHL has pledged more money, although it's unclear whether they're actually pledging more money than they were previously giving to these two leagues, or if they're just giving all of that funding to one league instead. For me, I think that there's a real point of failure here, and that's in what national governing bodies, or at least USA Hockey, is doing and not doing to support the women's game. You know, the women here have fought for and earned better salaries. The national team players are now getting about $71,000 a year. Mm-hmm. But the organization doesn't promote them well, has a history of failing to take advantage of media opportunities. How important is support of the national governing bodies in the success of pro leagues like the CWHL?
Well, I mean, that's a really important point that you just touched on. What happens is that, for convenience sake, we look to support the women only at Olympics time or Worlds. That's not good enough. The CWHL filled a massive canyon of possibility and opportunity for young girls who can see themselves represented as professional hockey players in a league that did not rely on a men's league.
It is important to have the pro level for somebody to say, I can go even further with this. The idea that you have something for kids, girls in this case, to aspire to. So there is an interesting thought process there about the NGB, the national governing body, supporting these leagues and making sure they get going. This has been a blip on the screen. This has not been any time at all. The NFL is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. So it takes time for these things to evolve.
Nothing grows overnight. It needs investment. This particular league was not given a chance to thrive, and that's unfortunate, and it's terrible.
Ken, you wanted to talk about another league that has folded this week.
The Alliance of American Football. So we've seen in the past the American Football League, which merged with the NFL, the World Football League, the United States Football League, and then we had an iteration of the XFL, which is coming back, which is part of the story too. So 53 days into this season, the league has greater trouble than they had in week one, where they couldn't make payroll. So there were signs there were going to be problems. What starts to happen is the cash flow is a problem. And the league looks to the owner of a National Hockey League franchise, getting back to hockey, the Hurricanes, a writer for The Ringer, Roger Sherman, said, if you want to remember this guy's name, think of the theme for Law & Order, Tom Dundon.
Also should have been a sign, maybe.
Yeah, right. There's nothing good happens after you hear Dundon, right? So he invests $70 million and commits that he'll also put in $180 along the way. He then also becomes chairman, controls the league. He says, well, if we don't get a deal with the NFL, then I'm going to shutter the league. And then he does it. Other little startups like the Historical Basketball League are stuttering a little bit, and investors are saying, I don't know if I want to get into this. If this league is failing, maybe it's time to stop trying to start new leagues.
One of the things for me that stands out the most is I'm thinking about the players.
Yeah.
From what I read, their belongings were packed up and moved into the lobby of hotels.
Yeah.
Like, we forget that they're humans with families that have to move, that have to pay their own bills. Like, it's just, I think sometimes that's forgotten in the discussion and in the analysis, is that how it affects them.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear that Tom Dundon made this move to protect what was left of his $250 million investment and not thinking about the people who had made investments of their time and their bodies into this league. I actually also worry that people are going to take this as a sign that we don't need another football league in the United States. And I actually think we desperately need one other league, and it's not the XFL. I think we need Pacific Pro Football, which is another league which is slated to begin next year. The only players eligible to play in that league are those who have been out of high school for less than 4 years. So in other words, the players who are right now being forced to pretend to be college students. And I'm a little bit worried that this whole Alliance of American Football mess is going to make that league more difficult to get off the ground. Ken, are you also looking forward to an actual alternative to college?
Well, there's a niche moment. I think you're right in this idea of, you know, the death of amateurism, which is part of what the Pacific League is focused on. Because really, if you want to make it the NFL, NCAA football is the path. So it is something to think about. Is there another way? Is there something else that kids should have? The idea of trying to have another pro league at the NFL level, the NBA level, Major League Baseball, forget about it. You are not going to win that fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of amateurism, the NCAA places a March Madness rug in every team locker room, and this year they've become a hot commodity. I'm kind of confused how, because they're 3-foot by 5-foot rugs, which feel like they're probably awkward to fit into a suitcase, but still they have been disappearing. And on Sunday, Iowa's Jordan Bohannon tweeted the following, quote, "Give us the ability to make money off our own name and we'll give you your rug back. You have 24 hours.
The boss move right there.
For me, this was great fun. Bohannon wasn't asking his school to pay athletes. He was only asking for players to have the opportunity to make money off their own likenesses. Bohannon later apologized for his joke, apparently at the request of the University of Iowa. But still, most everyone has had a good laugh over this. You know, 5 years ago, I think Bohannon's tweet would have caused scandal. Any talk by a player about being paid was sacrilegious. Now we can at least have a good laugh at it. And I'm just kind of wondering, is that progress or is that the opposite of progress?
Well, I really am rooting for him in the rug. Well, I was. and I think that this speaks to what you're saying, Karen. Could this have happened 5 years ago? The amount of agency the kids have to speak now. Like, I mean, they can't get paid. Can they at least express what they're feeling via social media? There's something about that I like. I'm glad that they're doing it because the NCAA doesn't have a culture of amplifying voices of athletes. So these boys just want a rug. Like stuff. I mean, they're not asking for a Bentley. They're like, can we have a rug? I just didn't think it was a stretch, but I don't make the NCAA policies, right? So I don't know.
You know, there's two stories here. I mean, there's the serious free speech part. The other story is the kid wants to decorate his dorm room, for crying out loud. This is, you know, at the risk of the statute of limitations not being up. At Stanford, we used to stay at Ricky's Hyatt House in Palo Alto the night before games, and I guess so they could keep an eye on us. And as a result, most of the team had their own dorm rooms and apartments furnished in early Ricky's Hyatt House. So this is what kids do. And it's they're giving away everything else. They get these goodie bags. So how could they not want you to take that nasty rug that's available there?
For the record, the NCAA does seem to be A-okay with Jordan Bohannon keeping the rug, which is great. I just wish he wasn't being forced to apologize by his school.
Yeah,
exactly.
My guests for this week's three stories you should know have been Toronto-based sports writer Shireen Ahmed, co-host of the Burn It All Down podcast, and Professor Kenneth Shropshire, CEO of Arizona State University's Global Sport Institute. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.